Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
What do you say, big guy? You want to go for a ride in the Bobmobile?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 834 of the Biden-Harris administration. 551 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Instagram, The Bob Seska. That's my handle. That's how you find me. That's where I'm at. Twitter, it's BobSeska_go. Spoutable is Bob Seska. And our Patreon page, of course, is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there is the Goth Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
It is spicy Jody Hamilton dropping the C word on Stephanie Miller's
Patreon
show. Yeah.
I like the metal bikini there, Jody. That was a nice touch for Star Wars.
Well, you know,
Jody.
Somebody's got to wear it.
That's right. What's the Patreon page for Stephanie Miller? Is it patreon.com/Stephanie Miller?
I would assume so, yeah.
I'm just going to go with that. Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller. Also, patreon.com/FromTheBunker. David Ferguson, his music project is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. We got a world premiere Astral Summer single for you later. And guess what? We're playing the whole damn song. We're playing the whole thing.
Yeah, folks, I'm super needy today. We're just going to have to... I want us to put my drawing on the fridge with a magnet and tell everybody how great it is. Thank you. I need the affirmation. It's been a tough week.
On the upside, it's only 2.5 minutes long. So that's all you have to deal with. If you don't like it, then you can skip ahead. See, there is that skip ahead button on all the podcast players. It's very convenient. I've used it many, many times. So,
and Lonnie mastered it this morning at 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah. At 4 a.m.?
That's when we're up.
You both get up at crazy o'clock. Is that what you do?
The cat usually gets him up. And in fact, today he got up after I did because she got him up at 3. He went back to bed. And so okay. I got up at 3:50. And she and he were in bed until like 4:20. And I needed to borrow his truck. And he had stuff in the truck. So it was a whole mishigas.
Okay, can I ask you?
He finally got up at like 20 after 4. I'm like, dude, you're up late.
Why are you doing this? Why are you getting up at 4 o'clock?
And this week it's Stephanie's show.
See, that makes sense. But you normally get up that early.
I normally get up around 5.
Okay.
If I sleep till 6, that's like, whoa, dude. The day is gone.
Yeah. Well, for me, 4 o'clock in the morning means 5 more hours of sleep. That's what 4 o'clock in the morning means for me. So we've got some.
I gotta say, a big thank you to Lonnie for like he keeps like it's like a moment's notice. I'm like, hey, Lonnie, do you mind?
Yeah. I mean, for tomorrow morning, can you get this song mastered in time so we can play it on the show tomorrow?
He did.
There is going to be a remix of this song, and I was like, Lonnie, if you feel like it, you could put a guitar track on there. So, I mean, I would...
Nudge, wink, wink, yeah.
I would be so thrilled if he played on this, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'd be great. Did the other David play on this, play a guitar track on this one?
Well, I wasn't actually going to talk about that because David, unfortunately, is having a major issue with his right shoulder from an old martial arts injury. He's got frozen shoulder syndrome.
The worst. Yeah, Kimberly had that for a while.
Can't even strap on a guitar right now. So everybody pray for Dave.
Oh, right. Well, when you said you weren't going to talk about it, I thought it was going to be something much more clandestine and secret and sordid.
No.
Takes a long time to recover, too.
Which means no shows for the foreseeable future, which I'm very disappointed about.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to the other David. Yeah. And by the way, that's how I'm going to refer to him from now on, is the other David.
Other Dave? Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got some great news to start out the show with. Thankfully, this happened before we started the show. Seems like whenever there's a breaking news story, one of the major comments that I see on Twitter is, oh, this is great news for Bob. It happened before his show. Or this is terrible. This is terrible news for Bob. It happened right after his show finished.
Thousands of people are dead of an earthquake in Turkey, but Bob at least got it in before deadline.
Thankfully.
That's right. It's somehow going to be good news or terrible news for me, depending on the timing. But the Proud Boys...
Well, it's always good news for John McCain.
Yeah. The five Proud Boys have been found guilty.
This council has no hesitation in proclaiming you all guilty.
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 Oh, I did a takeoff on that.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm going to send you the takeoff that we did on that.
So, Enrique Terrio. Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. Ethan Nordine, Joseph Biggs, Zachary Real, and Jeremy Bertino. And that was a plea. He pled out that one. But we've got five Proud Boys guilty of seditious conspiracy. You know what this entails? The possibility for a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. Now, Jody, you have some extra details about how that will play out as far as sentencing, right?
Well, I mean, each of the counts that they were convicted, for which they were convicted.
Yeah.
How English was that? can have a maximum sentence of 20 years.
Okay.
So they're looking at a minimum of a potential 40, and New York Times said potentially 50 because there was another count that was minor.
Yeah.
So these guys are potentially looking at 50 years in prison, and I hope that the judge throws the book at him so that nobody tries to do this again. Because seditious conspiracy is very difficult to prove. And the DOJ has done it multiple times right now.
Yeah. So this is really bad news for Donald Trump, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Especially because of Denny Terrio's brother.
Yeah. Denny Terrio's brother. It's not really Denny Terrio's brother.
It's not Denny Terrio's brother, but that's what I call him.
Right. It's Enrique Terrio.
Well, Denny was a much better dancer than Enrique.
Yes. Enrique, not a very good dancer.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, they're definitely going to do time, right?
Oh, God,
yes.
They're not going to get probation and have to do community service at the Heritage Foundation.
This is serious, serious federal charges here we're talking about. Yeah. And you know what I keep thinking about when it comes to the sentencing, which we haven't heard yet, just to be totally clear about that. We don't know what the sentence is going to be, but the maximum sentence is 20 years in prison for seditious conspiracy. In federal prison, I wonder how a group known as the Proud Boys is going to fare in prison. I don't imagine a group that has that particular title. Because I've always thought that Proud Boys...
those guys look like marshmallows.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, I mean, plus, they're not hard men.
Exactly. Plus, Proud Boys sounds like a Pornhub category. You know what
it
I mean?
It totally does.
Yeah. So they're either going to be super unpopular in prison or they're going to be very, very popular. Either way, it's bad news for the Proud Boys. Either way you slice that. So also, for the record, we add to that list the Oath Keepers who have already been found guilty of the same charges. Stuart Rhodes, Kelly Meggs, Roberto Minuta, Ed Vallejo, Joseph Hackett, Steve Morshall, William Todd Wilson, Joshua James, and Brian Ulrich, all guilty.
This council has no hesitation in proclaiming you
guilty.
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 Yeah, what do you think of that, Tucker Carlson, huh? That's all great news on that particular front. And so now when it comes down to people like, I don't know, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump, all of the architects of what went down on January 6th,
I would be terrified if I were any of those guys. If Donald Trump were capable of human emotion, he'd be really afraid
of fear.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's
of course.
Fully capable of fear and paranoia. Those are reptile brain emotions.
Yeah.
You know, like he's got those. But I feel like it makes sense, though, if, you know, all the Oath Keepers were conspiring with someone.
Yeah.
So they were conspiring with the Proud Boys, who were conspiring with the executive branch under Donald Trump. So it makes sense that the upholding jurisprudence from one judge to another would be, yes, you know, this
right.
is seditious conspiracy. So I say bully.
Well, the Washington Post reports, this is another interesting part of this story. Over nearly 15 weeks of proceedings, prosecutors alleged that the Proud Boys on trial saw themselves as Trump's army, quote unquote, inspired by his directive to stand back and stand by during his presidential debate with Joe Biden, his call for a wild protest in December of 2020. Prosecutor said the men sought to keep Trump in power through violence on the day that Congress met to certify the presidential election results. So this ties directly to Donald Trump in a sense that he told them to stand back and stand by. And you know what? There's part of me, I keep thinking about that moment in that presidential debate when he said that. And part of me thinks, of course, that he was telling the Proud Boys to stand by. But then another part of me believes that he was doing that thing where he screws up a word, says the wrong word, and then retcons it immediately, like tries to incorporate it somehow. Yes, I meant to say that wrong word. So when they were, whoever it was a Chris Wallace kind of badgering him to tell the Proud Boys to stand down. So when he went to say stand back, he meant to say stand down. And then when he went to correct the stand back, he said stand by. Mm-hmm. That will only, what I'm just explaining right now, will only make any sense to people who have seen many of his rallies. Like if Hal Sparks was sitting here in our group, Hal Sparks would go, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He's retconning his fuck up. Which he does all the time. He does it. I mean, the magnified fortion thing.
Oh my God.
A fashionable magnified tape is what he said.
Yeah, magnified that was, it was
fortune.
So weird.
The fashionable magnified tape was him trying to retcon saying magnified fortune. And I think maybe the stand back and stand by was the same dynamic. However, doesn't matter. He said what he said. And that is now on the record. Everyone watching TV that night saw it. Everyone's seen the clip. It's been used in court. The Proud Boys have said, yes, we were following instructions from Donald Trump. And as part of all of this, whether it's the Oath Keepers or the Proud Boys, they have repeatedly stated, each one of these defendants has said, oh, yeah, we're just acting on orders from Donald Trump. Donald Trump wanted us to be there to do our thing. And that's why we showed up. And that's why we plotted to do this in the first place. Meantime, on the Donald Trump front, he was, I think, in Scotland.
Yes, or, this morning.
Yeah, this morning, and he was playing golf. But he insisted, Trump insisted to reporters there that he's going to return to New York City to confront E. Jean Carroll in court. Here's Donald Trump in one of his golf courses, one of his many golf courses, just losing his spadoinkle all over the place. He is pissed, and I'm here for every delicious second.
We're going to get you to the ninth green.
Here we go.
I have to leave Ireland, and I have to leave Scotland, where I have great problems.
Two different countries.
I have to leave early.
Yeah. Well, see, that's another instance where he meant to say Scotland, and he said Ireland, and then he had to add Scotland to correct himself.
Because it really is like a drunk crossing an icy street, listening to him talk.
Love that. By the way, there was a lot of wind, so hence the crackly audio.
I have to leave Ireland and I have to leave Scotland, where I have great properties. I have to leave early. I don't have to, but I choose to.
Will you attend the trial, Mr. President?
I'll probably attend. It's a disgrace that it's allowed to happen. It's called false accusations against a rich guy.
It says it's a
against a rich guy.
Against a rich guy. And so now he's going to retcon that. Watch him correct that.
Or in my case, against a famous, rich, and political person.
So he went from, I'm a rich guy, to
I'm famous, rich, political, and very handsome. Yeah.
And I'm a person, damn it. I'm Trump, and I'm a person. I'm a human being.
It's leading the polls by 40 points, and I have to go back for a woman that made a...
So he believes because he's leading in the polls by 40 points that he's immune from lawsuits. Is that the point that he's trying to make there? I'm ahead in all the polls, which means I'm above the law because the polling is the line of demarcation. That's the Maginot line. If I cross that line, I don't know what he's talking about here.
And I have to go back for a woman that made a false accusation about me, and I have a judge who's extremely hostile, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to confront this one.
Oh, that was the remix.
Remix.
My board malfunctioning. Yeah, sorry.
Woman is a disgrace, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen in our country. That's totally false. It was fake. She's a fake. She wrote it in a book.
No.
She's a Democrat. We have a rough judge. We have a judge that doesn't like me much, appointed by Bill Clinton. He sounds drunk and hoarse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's been sounding hoarse. We're going to play a clip of him talking to Nigel Farage about the coronation of King Charles here in a second. And he does. He sounds like he's got a cold or something. I don't know what's going on. Or is, you know what? Guess what? Trump is old and he's in terrible shape. I mean, that's just
maybe he's got COVID again. That would be funny.
How many years younger than Biden is he? Just two or three?
Three and a half.
Okay. Jody had that right at her fingertips. But his physical age is, I would say, 10 years older than Joe Biden.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as his overall health in general, he can't possibly be healthier than Joe Biden. There's just no way.
He's, I guess, not allowing the coat that they wanted to put into evidence.
The coat?
Once we said, yes, put it into evidence, they said, oh, we don't want to do that.
That's not true.
It's a disgrace.
But here's the thing. So you're going to say about the coat, Jody? What's the deal with the coat?
First off, it's not a coat. It's the dress. She has the dress. He's not willing to present his DNA.
Okay. All right.
Basically, she produced the dress and asked for his DNA, and he said no.
Okay. So he's so weird.
Here's the other thing. Trial's over.
Yeah.
Closing. The only thing left is closing statements. And so.
Thank you.
It's like, homie, you missed. I don't know if you're in the wrong time zone, but you're actually 5 hours ahead, not 5 days behind. So you can't go in there now. It's done. It's a done deal.
So I guess to a certain extent, he's talking to low information supporters.
Yes.
Who don't realize that Taco Pina, when asked whether this was true, whether he was going to go back and testify, Taco Pina was like, no. I mean, he didn't even hesitate. He's like, no, not going to happen. In fact, Trump is not even putting that team. Trump's legal team isn't even putting up a defense. They're not calling any witnesses for the defense in all of this. I wonder what his point was in saying that. And I guess the only thing is, well, my people really don't follow, you know, the news. So they're not going to have any understanding in terms of what's really happening in this case, which means Taco Pina is going to tackle him down before he ever gets to the stand. Either that, or at this point, can you imagine at this stage in the trial, Donald Trump firing his legal team?
Yes.
In order for him to testify, and then he gets up there and testifies and botches the whole thing. One of the reasons Taco Pina doesn't want Trump to testify is because there was a deposition over the summer that was apparently a disaster for Trump.
Oh, and they played it in the E. Jean Carroll trial. They were allowed to because he was refusing to testify, and it's not a criminal trial. So civil trials, you can play depositions.
Do we have a sense right now in terms of how this is going to land, where the verdict is going to end up dropping on all of this? Is it likely that it's going to go against him? I'm trying to get my hopes up is what I'm trying to do.
I think it will, because Taco Pina was attacking her in ways that I think a 2023 jury would not accept versus, say, a 2000 jury might.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's like women don't come forward to make money. They don't come forward to slander somebody. They don't come forward to, you know, it's super, super rare that a woman cries rape who has not been raped. It just is so rare.
Yeah, yeah.
And the women that do, you know, lie about it, they should be prosecuted. I'm with that, because it denies everybody else the right to. And I think it's, 3% of all rape victims actually report it?
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that 3%, only about 3% get a conviction. So, I mean, it's that difficult to prove, because 9 times out of 10, well, maybe not that often, but many times the person who is raped knows the person that raped them already. It's very rare. Stranger rape is different than, hey, you knew the guy. What were you wearing is no longer a thing with stranger rape. But with date rape or acquaintance rape, it's really hard to prove, unfortunately, because unlike murder, hey, he was asking for it. He was out, you know, and I stabbed him. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody says it about murder or burglary or, you know, any sort of theft. It's always sex. It's her fault because how dare she do whatever it was she was doing. And so, like, you never say to somebody, well, why did you leave your car out in the parking lot where somebody could break into it and steal it? I mean, you know,
like,
nobody says that.
What were you thinking, leaving your house out in the open?
I mean, nobody says that when it's an assault, even just a regular beating somebody up. Nobody says, well, he was asking for it. Nobody says that.
Yeah. My house was wearing a mini skirt and that red lipstick.
And it was asking for it. It was totally asking for it.
Right. So Takapina told Judge Kaplan at the end of court on Tuesday that Trump wouldn't be testifying. And then Kaplan replied, it is his call. I'm not sure whether that means it's Takapina's call or Trump's call. I wonder if
it's Trump's call.
Trump's call.
Yeah.
Okay. So Trump could come in and just say, I'm going to testify or you're fired, Takapina's. We'll see. I tend to believe that Donald Trump was just talking a big game in Scotland or Ireland. No matter where he happened to be, which country, different countries, by the way.
Probably also a little bit confused just in the timeline, you know? I really think he's a little dissociated.
Yeah. Well, just imagine the pressure he's under, where Donald Trump is forced to deal with the stress of all of these cases happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, this E. Jean Carroll situation alone is enough to make him lose sleep. So, meantime, the jury did, however, I think we were just talking about this, hear directly from Trump later in the day on Tuesday when lawyers for Carroll played parts of the videotaped deposition he sat for in October. In one clip, Trump called Carroll's allegations ridiculous. He said, it's the most ridiculous, disgusting story. It was just made up. If Trump says one thing, the opposite is usually true. The other thing is that, a New York Supreme Court judge has tossed out Donald Trump's lawsuit against the New York Times, which is also wonderful news. Just to be clear about all of this, this ruling only had to do with the New York Times and Trump's lawsuit against that publication. Contrary to what the Daily Beast tweeted yesterday, the judge did not throw out our friend Mary Trump's lawsuit, or the lawsuit against Mary Trump, the defamation lawsuit.
Good.
So that has not been thrown out yet. But
she's going to, he's suing her, right?
Yeah, he's suing her.
She's going to win.
I have no doubt.
She's totally going to win that.
So, so Trump's lawsuit.
Isn't he like also mad that she got all those documents from the law firm?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
she declassified them in her mind, asshole.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And so this is all coupled together, Mary Trump and the New York Times to an extent, because Mary Trump was the one who helped out the New York Times getting their hands on some of this information. So if the lawsuit against the New York Times is thrown out, then also I think the Mary Trump lawsuit should be. But it hasn't been ruled on yet. So we'll find out about that. Probably, as we were talking about at the top of the show, probably 2 minutes after we finished recording this.
Yes.
And it was so embarrassing yesterday because I was like, I saw that Daily Beast tweet come down. And then I immediately texted Mary Trump. And I said, congratulations, the judge just tossed out the lawsuit against you. And she's like, what?
No.
What are you talking about? Like, oh, shit. The tweet was wrong. Trump, who was facing a number of legal battles, filed the $100 million lawsuit in 2021, alleging that the Times and his niece, Mary Trump, had worked together on an insidious plot to secure his tax records for a story on his tax issues, which went on to win a Pulitzer Prize. The lawsuit claimed that interactions between three Times reporters and his niece led to a breach of contract of a 2001 family confidentiality agreement. The New York Supreme Court Justice Robert Reed. Is that the dad from the Brady Bunch?
Yes, Bob Reed.
Okay, yep. Great. Interesting. I thought he was gone.
From the dead. From the dead.
He's back from the dead. That. He's back from the dead, and he's sitting on the New York Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. He said on Wednesday that Trump's claims failed as a matter of constitutional law. And then he said, you know, when you lie to other people, you're also lying to yourself, and you're lying to all the people who've lied to you, just like Robert Reed would in the Brady Bunch, is what that joke was, yes. Courts have long recognized that reporters are entitled to engage in legal and ordinary news-gathering activities without fear of tort liability, the judge said. The New York Times is pleased with the judge's decision today. We are pleased the court reached the correct ruling dismissing Mr. Trump's frivolous case against the New York Times and its reporters. We are confident the court will also protect Ms. Trump's exercise of her First Amendment rights. Yes.
Yeah.
We're all pulling for our friend Mary Trump on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And by the way, in case I haven't mentioned it yet, the Trek Politics podcast premieres the week of June 5th. Can't wait. That's me and Mary Trump talking about the socio-political impact of Star Trek in podcast format. I'm doing this in my copious free time.
Yeah, because you have, what, 10 minutes a week?
Yeah. So I figured, you know what? I got an extra 10 minutes a week. Let's talk about Star Trek for that 10 minutes. It's going to be much longer. It's going to be more than just 10 minutes. We're going to be talking about Star Trek from the perspective of socio-political issues, cultural issues covered on episodes of Star Trek across the entire canon of shows, including maybe even like things like the Kelvin timeline and so on. We're going to be interviewing guests from Star Trek actors to Star Trek producers. In fact, our very first guest is the executive producer and showrunner, director, writer of Picard Season 3. The great Terry Metalis is going to join us that week. Yeah,
excellent, excellent.
So I'm frantically scrambling. Both Mary and I are frantically scrambling to get everything set, ready to go for that first week of June. So get ready. Announcements still to come. Watch this space, etc. All right. So that's my little sideline pitch for the Trek Politics podcast with Mary Trump and me. And by the way, if you want to get a jump on things, you can follow us on Twitter at Trek Politics. Right. Okay. So the thing with the Daily Beast is they reported in their tweet that it was also Mary Trump. But then in the text of the article, it said, while the court tossed out Trump's claims against the newspaper and its reporters, the claims against the ex-president's niece have yet to be ruled upon. All right. Lots more to talk about. We got to talk about Donald Trump, Nigel Farage, and the new line of attack against Joe Biden, which is that he's too old and feeble to attend the coronation of King Charles. Why, oh, why is Joe Biden so old that he can't go to the coronation, which no president has ever
gone to? Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that here coming up. Plus the Tucker text message that may or may not have gotten him fired. That's still a big question mark. I don't think this is what got him fired. I think this is just Fox News, someone at Fox News leaking it to throw a bone to the press to get us to stop talking about Tucker Carlson. Plus, Charlie Kirk defended Tucker's obvious racism. And we've got a worse person in the world. Once again, that worst person in the world, spoiler warning, Jesse Waters. Jesse Waters is, generally speaking, one of the worst people in the world. And we're going to talk about exactly why here in just a few minutes. Okay, but first, today's show is brought to you by the After Party Podcast on our Patreon page. So you listen to the Tuesday show, you listen to the Wednesday show, you listen to the Thursday show, and you go, you know what? That's not enough show. That's not enough Bob. That's not enough Bob and company. We're not enough people to listen to. So why isn't there a fourth show? You know what? There is a fourth show. It's called The After Party, and we put it up on our Patreon page every Friday. It's me, it's Kimberly Johnson, who, by the way, I'm having sex with. I'm not afraid to say that.
In a refrigerator.
Yes, in the refrigerator. And the secret is, our whole apartment is a refrigerator. It is like 50 degrees in here, and it's all I can do to keep from shivering throughout the entire show. But we record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week. This one's totally different, though, from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday proceedings. The Friday After Party podcast has a bunch of politics. I mean, primarily it's politics. That's what we always talk. We talk about politics on this show. But we also include uncensored, completely obscene conversations about things like sex, drugs, movies, television, lots of television and stuff. Plus our personal lives, we talk about that, too. All the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. That's all. Plus, you're going to get two Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. So for $10, you get the After Party, you get the Shadow Docket twice a week, you get access to the Patreon app, you get access to the comments under the episodes, you get access to the community tab, and you know what? You're supporting this fully independent podcast, too. That's BobSuskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSuska.com, and we thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Any, let's run. We've got a cause, money.
Summer, David Ferguson, Annie, We Ride at Dawn is the name of that killer track. Holy shit. What inspired that? It's an incredible track with, I love the vocals, obviously, and the vocal melody, and that just that relentless backing track. It's amazing. Talk about it.
Backbeat is such a simple backbeat, but it just really, people just start twitching their butts. They can't stand it. They got to move around to it.
That's what that was. Yeah. I was twitching my butt and wondering why. Why am I doing that?
You wanted to dance, even though you're probably terrible at it. Bless your heart.
I am.
No, it's kind of a personal story. In fact, I'm just going to let people, whatever you feel like that's about, it's what it's about.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had like this 90-second piece of music since Thanksgiving, like on my hard drive, that I just kept coming back to and going, oh, I got to figure out how to untangle this and make it into a song. And then about a week and a half ago, it just started to flow. It cracked open. And it just kind of flowed out.
Yeah,
it's kind of a weird song structure because I'm like, what's the chorus? What's the verse? I don't know. But then again, like Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics, what's the chorus of that? Is the Sweet Dreams Are Made of This? Who am I to disagree? Is that the verse or the chorus?
You know what? I think that's the verse. I don't think there is a chorus on that song now that you mention it. Interesting. I have to go
but
back
it's kind
and
of all
it.
Chorus.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the chorus, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those fascinating songwriting enigmas for me, but like.
Yeah, yeah. It's so like Rush's kind of like Rush's track, Red Barchetta, also doesn't have a chorus. That's what I know about that one. Yeah, and I love the title of the song. I just love that whole idea of Annie, We Ride at Dawn. Just there's something adventurous about it. Like, okay, we're about ready to hit the road. Let's do
saddle
this.
Saddle up and let's go, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody get in the fucking way.
Yeah, it's another, it's a good track to listen to as the weather gets warmer and you can roll down the windows and feel the fresh air and blast some music, huh? Annoy the other drivers.
It's definitely a driving song.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
right.
The bass, I urge you to listen to it in the car because the bass comes up from underneath your, if you have good speakers,
yeah, makes you want to move, makes you want to freaky deaky, as they say. Boogie Nights. It's such a great track. And again, astralsummer.bandcamp.com to download.
Bandcamp.
Yeah, by the way, this is just the mono version because we present the show in mono. So what you want to do, not mononucleosis, monaural, so to speak. Yeah. But so what you want to do is download the song so you can feel the and listen to the full dynamic range of the stereo track. So there you go.
Yeah.
We're still in the 50s.
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be like I uploaded it right before the show. And the cover art by my buddy David Green, who's a listener, and that's how we met. He's a listener who reached out to me on Facebook.
Oh, great. But, excellent. Thanks, David.
The art he did, it's like Tron Gothic. It's so fucking cool. You have to go look at it. It's on Bandcamp, and it'll be on the stream. Streaming services. I'm going to upload it right after the show. It generally takes about 1 to 2 days to turn around. So start checking Spotify and Apple Music like tomorrow.
I got a question for Jody. Is Lonnie's real first name David? I'm curious about that because everyone involved with Astral Summer is named David.
No, his real first name is Lonnie.
Okay. Just curious because I was like, okay, so now there's a third David involved with Astral Summer. So that's a lot of Davids. Just was wondering if that was a rule or something. Okay, great track.
Can you imagine how cool a guitar track by Lonnie would sound on that, though?
Like oh, yeah. Although, you know what? You may be gilding the lily. I think it's great as is. So, okay.
That's what remixes are for. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to hear that. Yeah, we'll have to debut the remix once that gets rolled out. Okay, and also, is it just Bandcamp or everywhere you get your digital music? Are you posting it on Spotify and Apple Music and all
it
that crap?
It should be on Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube by Saturday at the latest.
Okay. Is it up on Bandcamp yet? Is it up there now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I put it up right before I logged on.
All right, so the link in the description will point to the Bandcamp page for Astral Summer. We can download this song. Okay, let's talk about Trump's conversation with Nigel Farage. First of all, Trump went into this interview without his copyrighted and trademarked orange clown makeup. Just to be clear, he's not using a spray tan or a tanning bed for that. That is makeup.
Oh, it's totally makeup.
It's makeup. It's like some form of cover-up or something because he's got... yeah, well, not only is it his brand, right, but he's got to cover up his rosacea. I think that's part of the reason why he wears that makeup. Didn't look like himself without the makeup on. It was like when Kiss first appeared without their makeup. Like, oh, that's not, those guys aren't Kiss. How could that
Everyone's
be?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Ace Frehley, you were so pretty. And then look at you.
For those of you who, at home who don't know, Nigel Farage is an alcoholic bullfrog that lives under a haunted tree stump in London. And is the slave of like every evil character in every single like Dickens novel that you ever read. He's just like the worst person in the fucking world. Big driver in Brexit, you know, but like never expected Brexit to actually work is what we learned from, you know,
That is hilarious. That's exactly what Nigel Farage is. He's just a pain in the ass. He's an instigator and he's in Vladimir Putin. He can fit into Vladimir Putin's back pocket, which is quite a feat. Spends a lot of time back there. It's almost like I've got a tiny Trump and a cigar box in the closet, just like the Green Mile and Mr. Jingles. Well, Putin walks around with Nigel Farage in his back pocket, drops a Skittle in there every once in a while. Nigel Farage devours it.
Nigel actually, like, they were trying to troll someone with a shitty old plane and one of those banners that you pull across the sky. And the fucking plane crashed and Farage, like, walked away from it. I mean, he was injured pretty badly, like broken ribs, broken collarbone and stuff, but like it's just proof that like real evil never dies. It just, like, you know, it walks the earth forever.
Right. Well, here's a great example. Trump was sitting there looking all pale, talking about how Joe Biden doesn't plan to attend the coronation of King Charles because he's old and feeble and he can't make it to London. He has to go to Delaware where he hides in his bunker.
Wasn't he just in Ukraine?
Yeah, he was traveling all over the place. He was, he was singing American Pie with the president of South Korea. It was just all kinds of shit going on. Joe Biden.
White House correspondence, dinner.
Exactly. Here's Trump and Farage giving Vladimir Putin a big woody.
Now, Mr. Biden's not coming. What does that say?
What's that
about
say?
His relationship with the UK? Because we get the feeling here. Yeah, he's very, very pro Ireland. He completely ignores the fact that Biden is in fact an English name. He's got English relatives. He doesn't seem to like us very much.
I don't think he can do it physically, actually. I think that it's hard for him to do it physically. I think getting over here for him, he's got a lot of things going and a lot of strange things happen.
He's got a lot of things going and a lot of strange things happening.
This is a man who is like friends with Rudy Giuliani, the man whose hair began to slide off of his head in front of a camera. The man who farted audibly you want to talk about someone who's got strange things happening. It's fucking mule jaw Giuliani over there.
Giuliani looks like a changeling from Star Trek that's losing its structural integrity.
Right. His molecular bonds are dissolving.
Yeah, but some weird things are happening to Joe Biden, making him incapable of attending
this. Strange things.
Strange things. That's right.
But certainly he should be here as our representative of our country. I was surprised.
He's so snotty and slobbery. It's, God, I can't stand listening to his voice when he gets so slobbery. Like when he was doing the COVID
press
conference.
Oh, come on, kiss Grandpa Bob. Let him take his dentures out first.
It's like
all extra sloppy.
He's got all that extra whatever in his mouth.
Goo and...
Yeah.
Surprised when I heard that he wasn't coming. You would think he would be here. He'll be in Delaware, where he spends a lot of time. He spent a lot of time during the election.
Shut the fuck up, Donald.
Yeah. He's actually got his eggs in his mouth because he's swimming upstream to spawn. He's like a salmon, like headed upstream, got some eggs.
Future Trump's clinging to his mouth cavity.
His one really dumb egg hanging off the edge going, that is an egg!
Really dumb egg. Oh my God, that's funny.
So I don't know, but I was very surprised to see. I think it's very disrespectful for him not to be.
I posted this on Twitter. I got a couple questions for these a-holes. When was the last time a British king, queen, or prime minister attended a presidential inauguration in the United States? The answer would be, of course, never. When has a president, a United States president, ever attended a British coronation?
It would have been 70 plus years ago, first off.
That's right. And the answer, by the way, is never. Never. Right. It's never fucking happened.
Left England. Left them.
We let them do. It's like when Germans bust out the Jägermeister. It's like time to go. This is a them thing, you know. Go ahead and do up your English thing, guys, and we will be over here respectfully distant. You know,
this is a them thing. Oh my God, that's a perfect way to describe that. Jesus.
They don't want us there. That, like, our fucking American president is probably the only person on earth who can upstage a British royal.
Yeah.
And they don't want that on his, you know, Charles' big day.
Yeah, I mean, I know. It wasn't like it was Queen Elizabeth sitting next to Hillary Clinton who said
that. Well, that was some weird shit.
During Trump's inauguration.
Exactly. No. We would, yeah.
It just doesn't happen. They don't do that. They don't send the prime minister. They don't send. They certainly don't send the queen or the king when there was a king in England. It just
it's like if you let like Mercury, I mean like Jupiter and Saturn collide. They're like so big, and they have such massive gravity wells that you can't put them together.
Like, oh my god!
Right.
Well, I don't know why my physics expert here is a Valley guy, but.
He's a total
roll
about.
With it. Roll well, that, with it. I came out on the 101, and then I came like right through from North Hollywood, and then yeah.
And then you went to Pasadena, okay? Because you know, like you live in North Hollywood, and then you have to go to Pasadena where the sciencey people are.
Yeah, and then when Biden shows up at the coronation, everyone goes, "What are you doing here?"
Biden's oh like God. Totally like, well, I caught a flight out of JFK, and it was just like, here I am, you know.
Sorry, I'm so sorry, Southern California. We know you're not on board with this shit, except Orange County. We'll just ignore.
Well,
that.
No. I live in the Valley. Wide streets, plenty of parking. Oh my God.
No, everybody in California, when you say hi, the next thing they tell you is how they got there.
Exactly.
Oh my God, yeah. It took you 20 minutes because you took the 101. Well, actually, if you're really
old.
The
101 up the PCH and then the little. It's like, dude, none of this makes any sense to anybody who doesn't live there.
Oh, no. Native Angelinos? It's the Ventura Freeway to the San Diego Freeway or the Golden State Freeway to the Hollywood Freeway. I mean, we talk about freeway names, not their numbers, because we're I'm old. It's like the San Diego Freeway. That's the 405. The Golden State is the 5. The 101 is the Ventura Freeway.
Yeah.
It also turns into the Hollywood Freeway after the 170. So, you know.
You know what? In case you don't know, we're talking about a sketch that was on Saturday Night Live a bunch of times called The Californians.
It was very funny.
Here's a taste of that.
Next on The Californians.
I'm glad you came over, Devon.
Why, too?
Maybe you should get going before Stuart gets home.
Right. I was thinking I'd take Canyon View Drive over to San Vicente, and then make a left and go on 405 North. From there, just get off of Mulholland.
Totally like that.
I think this is the first
one. Hey, honey. I brought us some tangerines. This guy was selling them on the off-ramp over by the 2. Devon?
Why are you him so early?
I skipped Wilshire and took Beverly over to Santa Monica and took that all the way up. I think you should go home now, Devon.
There's nothing going on, Stuart.
I should go home. Get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, then switch over to the 405 North and let it dump you out into Mulholland where you belong.
So good. Californians, yeah.
Californians.
Awesome. Just
man,
awesome.
The people who are complaining about us not talking enough politics in the last show that were just enraged. Or
I know.
Yeah, suck it, peasants.
Yeah.
We shit dish happens. It out, you lap it up, and that's how it works.
All right. Yeah, and the first time I ever went to Southern California for a bunch of meetings in L.A., it was I experienced that exact thing where my manager at the time just gave me all kinds of, like, tips about how to get around the 405 and how to get on the 1 and just all this shit happening all
certain
the same or the 101
time, like Lonnie literally left this morning at 6:30, but it was raining.
Yeah.
And
no, it rained in Los Angeles.
What are you
and
doing
it was a decent downpour. And so he took my car, which is low to the ground first off.
Yeah.
And so he took it all the way down to Anaheim where he was to buy a part, and it took him 2 hours, which should normally at 6:30 take maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that's I used to.
You know, we all drive the same car we drive every other day when it rains. It's not like it's the, it's like, oh God, rain, let me take the, I mean.
Honey, no, my car is so low to the ground and we flood in this area.
Oh, okay.
That I took his truck to Stephanie's this morning because I knew. And her, when I drove up to her house, there was a river going down Los Feliz Boulevard.
I remember I was running an animation studio in Reading, Pennsylvania for 10 years. And everyone in New York who I dealt with would say, like, okay, why are you setting up in Reading, Pennsylvania? And I said, you know what? If I lived in the valley in L.A. and I had to get to where MTV was in Santa Monica, it would probably take me the same amount of time it would take me to get from Reading to New York City would take me to get from the valley to Santa Monica.
No, I've been to those studios, and trust me, that's only 15 miles.
Yeah.
But depending on the time of day that you leave, it's either a 20-minute drive or an hour.
Right. And then when
we don't do mileage here. We just do how long does it take.
If you end up showing up early, they go, what are you doing here?
No, it's like, but it's like the tides or something. It's like certain places become impassable. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I was going to go up, you know, to the, and they're like, after 3 p.m.?
No, don't do that.
That is forbidden.
No, wait.
Our people do not go there.
Oh, no, we don't. You know,
like, it's...
After the riots in 92 and then the earthquake in 94, I moved into the valley in 93. And so I was at La Brea and Wilshire, which is far from where I live.
How'd you get there?
I left that area at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon and I made it home in 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, we need more earthquakes and riots because nobody lives here now.
What roads did you take?
I took Fairfax all the way.
And then
I took Cahuenga over the hill.
Themselves. It's a bit, Jody. You didn't really need to answer that.
So I took Fairfax up. Okay, no, I took La Brea, and then I took Hollywood Boulevard to Cahuenga. I did not take the 101 because, duh. So I took Cahuenga over the hill to, and then I took Colfax to Laurel Canyon, to my house. So that's how it happened. No, seriously, it was like I made it home in 30 minutes on surface streets. This doesn't happen.
Congratulations.
At 5 o'clock in the evening on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. It's just, man, that doesn't happen.
It never happens.
My song was cool, but I've just been shown up.
We premiered a new Asheville Summer track, and Jody told us how she made it to a place in 30 minutes. Incredible.
And I should have taken an hour and a half to get home.
Surface streets, no less. Yeah.
Although it kills me. Like I said, everybody apologizes to you if you're from out of town and it rains.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They're like, I'm so sorry it rained while you were here. And I want to be like, this is unacceptable. Get me the weather manager. You know?
I know where one lives. Fritz Coleman lives not too far from me.
God. Well,
I'm just like, it's not a big deal. We do this at home all the time. It's adorable that you guys freak out so bad when water falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
No, you know what happens is people in L.A. that are natives, they know how to drive in the rain. It's all y'alls from other places that go, you don't know how to drive, and then cause accidents.
Well, you know what? It's just as bad here in the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh, I bet.
The Beltway, if you spit on the road, the Beltway jams up for maybe 12 miles. It just stopped traffic. That's how insane it is in Washington, D.C. It's and I've been stuck in that perpetually over the last 3 weeks. So if I'm a little bit manic and a little bit off balance, that's probably why. Okay.
See, I'm from Georgia, like ludicrous. We're like, move, bitch, get out the way.
Right.
Nothing slows us down. We're like, rain, hurricanes, doesn't matter. Bison in the road, just drive around.
Yeah, yep. Okay, so we're going to talk about this Tucker text message here in a second, plus Charlie Kirk's ridiculous defense of Tucker's racism. We've got a worst person in the world, and a whole lot more stuff coming up here on today's show. Back with more of those things right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
They told you in school about freedom, but when you try to be free, they never let you. They said it's easy and nothing to it. And now they
great Brad Brooks.
Feeling that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's
yeah, it's a great track. It's called The American Ruse. What do you think that's about? Yeah, maybe the previous administration? I would say yes.
I was thinking Rue McClanahan, and, you know, she's great.
She was.
I just now got that. All right, link in the description, of course, to support Brad Brooks and to download this song into your record collection.
And RuPaul, obviously. Yeah. The American Ruse. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so I don't know what the deal is with this text message other than a great way for Fox News to kind of shut people up about what Tucker did to get fired. They threw this, someone leaked this text message out to the New York Times. And let me just read this thing. The pertinent part of it. And of course, I'm reading Tucker Carlson being racist, so don't hold this against me. It's his
Shocker.
Words. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, he said, I was watching video. You know, I should do this in his voice. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching
video. Yeah. I just threw up in my mouth. Stop.
Ew.
I'm sorry. I was watching video of people fighting in the street in Washington. A group of Trump guys surrounded an Antifa kid and just started pounding the living shit out of him. It was 3-1 at least. Jumping a guy like that is dishonorable, obviously. It's not how white men fight. Yeah, well, obviously white people do fight like this because he was just then watching three white people fight like that. But essentially he was saying that non-whites fight dishonorably. And so these white Trump supporters were behaving like non-whites, and so therefore they were bad. But then Tucker goes on to root for the three Trump guys who are fighting dishonorably. He wanted them to kill the Antifa kid. I don't think this is why Tucker was fired. I think this is just throwing a bone to the press to try to get us to shut up about it. The other thing is, you know what this reads like to me? This reads like it's in Tucker's show voice, which indicates that, in fact, it's the Lincoln phony. Project. Yeah, the Lincoln Project did a whole video where they used a Tucker AI voice to read some of this. And it sounds like one of his A block monologues. It sounds like Tucker was writing this up to deliver on his show that night. So this isn't just a text message to a producer. This is a script that he may have wanted to do. This is 4:20 in the afternoon on January 7th, the day after the insurrection. And I think he was proposing this to his showrunners and his newsroom, et cetera. We want to do this on the air tonight. I want to say this on the show. Because it,
and that's because I was reading it going, nobody writes texts like this. This
exactly.
is not a text.
Yeah.
I'm not, this, it felt performative to me, which is exactly what you're calling out. And I do think you're possibly right there.
I think so.
I just think he's so full of shit that I think he's doing, I mean, like he's doing a bit to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know that guy. We all knew that guy.
in college or wherever, the creepy guy that was always doing a bit.
Yeah.
Like it was, and he couldn't even tell that he was being phony and that everybody could sense that he was off and weird.
Yeah. The guy who's always on and you just want him to talk like a real life human being for a second. Okay, stop doing shtick. Can you just speak to me like I'm a regular person? Drives me nuts when people do that. They don't have any, off position on the douchebag switch. And that's the case with Tucker Carlson here. So I think what may have happened, if this was related at all to his firing, I think what he was doing is proposing this as a script for that night. And then some of his people said, you don't want to say this on the show, Tucker. I don't know what may have happened because it seems like something similar to what he said on the show already. He's been this racist on his show before. So I don't know why anyone would object. But my guess is someone said, no, maybe it's not a good idea to do this. And then he called that person a C word and went off. And maybe that's why he got fired. I don't know. Maybe that's the additional information.
I want the Lincoln Project's audio of his voice going, I can taste it in my mouth. You know, like,
oh, gross.
The fun you could have with that.
Yeah. Well, he said, yet suddenly I found myself rooting for the mob against the man, hoping they'd hit him harder, kill him, he said. I really wanted them to hurt the kid. I could taste it. There you go, David. Then somewhere deep in my brain, an alarm went off. This isn't good for me. I'm becoming something I don't want to be. The Antifa creep is a human being. It's nice of him to at least acknowledge that.
That person is human.
Yeah.
Unlike Greg Abbott, who the people that were killed in Texas were just illegals.
Right, right.
So this is where I feel like they're going to come to his defense that, like, oh, he showed remorse.
No, he did not. No.
Well, that may have been why they released this text, because it humanizes him a little bit. Like, he's like, okay, well, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Like, I shouldn't be a racist who wants someone to die.
I still feel this way. I shouldn't be, but I still do.
That's right. Like saying Madame Tussauds humanizes celebrities, you know? And it's like, no, this just makes him come across as even more contrived.
Yeah, exactly. So Charlie Kirk defended Tucker Carlson on this front. Let's listen to a little bit of Charlie Kirk, the dumbest man in politics, trying to parse this in a positive light, huh?
In fact, if you want to actually get to the truth that Tucker was saying here, is that there is a disturbing, this is a fact, no one wants to say this, there is a disturbing pattern of blacks jumping people of all races in the urban corridors in America. That is a fact.
What? Where does he get that shit?
Where did this? I was like, wait. I was like, that took an unexpected turn. I was like, what?
I don't like it. You shouldn't like it. It's horrifying. But it's a pattern that we are seeing.
No, it's not.
Tucker Carlson was sending a private text message basically piggybacking on that fact. By the way, you know who the blacks are jumping more than anybody else? Asians in the streets.
Well, you know, the other thing about this is we're talking about an incident that Tucker was observing in which three white guys jumped another white guy.
Thank you.
What, how are we getting to, oh, this happens with blacks all the time, out of this incident that involved four white guys?
Yep.
I said that it's not a noun. When someone says the blacks, I'm like, okay, you're a fucking racist asshole, period. There's no way around it when you're like just...
Yeah, well, defending this at all is super duper racist for sure.
There are thousands of videos of blacks ganging up on their victims. It's not racist to say that. It's not racist to see pattern recognition and say, wow, we usually don't see this. It's not to say that one race is better than the other. I know Tucker Carlson, unlike these mockingbird media apparatchiks. It does not have a racist element of an
He got a little boner when he wrote that for himself.
Oh, yeah.
These mockingbird apparatchiks or mockingbird media apparatchiks. He was like, ooh, I'm so smart.
Yeah, Charlie studying for the Charlie Kirk studying for the SATs and just landed on apparatchiks that morning. Yeah, hooked on phonics. He just learned apparatchiks just that day. It's like when Donald Trump hears Stephen Miller say something and Donald Trump repeats it but gets it all wrong. It's the same dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like someone said apparatchiks to Charlie Kirk that day. And he was like, oh, apparatchiks, that's a great word. I'm going to use that
word. Tomorrow he'll
learn
pogrom.
Right. Well, that brings us to the worst person in the world, Jesse Waters with his punch me face and his shit-eating smirk. This is Jesse Waters describing something that he allegedly saw in New York City. Just another... awful example of Fox News racism. If Tucker got fired because of this text message about the these guys beating up this Antifa kid, then not, Jesse Waters should join him in the unemployment line after this particular segment on The Five.
The mayor here is complaining about a couple thousand with more resources than any other city in the entire country. That's ridiculous. Now, I saw on the way into work a illegal immigration family digging through the trash looking for recyclables.
Okay, he's making this all up.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about this. He is fabricating this entire story to make a point. Because he's got no soul. He's a soulless automaton. He doesn't care. He doesn't have any core values.
You can't even say immigrant.
Yeah.
He's like, I saw an illegal immigration family. And it's like, oh, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know big words are hard. But you could, I mean, it's your job now to sit there on the TV and run your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, as soon as he's challenged on it, that's where the gaps start to come in. That's where he's just bullshitting his way through it.
Into work, a illegal immigration family digging through the trash looking for recyclables.
How did you know they were illegal?
You can tell. And Jesse. I can tell.
Okay, how do you know they were illegal? You can tell was his response.
How can you tell? Did you look at their papers?
No, you can just tell, Jody. You can just say,
oh, okay.
Say, look,
so
oh, that
the
person.
Germans, he can tell if Germans are here.
Yeah.
Or English folks or Swedish.
You know how I know, Jody?
How do you know I'm not an illegal Canadian?
Exactly.
A spy, even. Like
I mean, my friend
Americans.
Michael, he's Canadian. We don't know if he's got papers.
You know how I know Jesse Waters has an STD? Because he probably would select his dates by saying, well, she doesn't look like she has herpes. Well, you can't tell this shit by just looking at
someone. You really think
someone.
Somebody would have sex with him? Ew.
Yeah, good point. So I retract.
Have you guys talked about what's his face, the other one? Because I get him and Steven Crowder. Like, to me, they're kind of the same guy.
Oh, yeah,
Steven
Crowder.
Waters, Gutfeld, and Crowder are basically interchangeable. They're all douchebag
a-holes. I have a harder time telling Crowder and Waters apart. Like, to me, they're basically the same guy. But, like, Crowder is apparently, like, the night of the long knives.
He's awful.
Of the right-wing shills has started because, like, I mean, in addition to that tape of him abusing his wife, has
two tapes.
Two tapes have leaked out, but now there's like accusations of him like
revealing his penis, like exposing his penis
people.
To people.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, not surprising at
all. Which I don't know if you guys knew this, but like the guy when the people were like, people were trying to defend Kavanaugh were like, no, actually that wasn't Brett Kavanaugh in college in Yale freshman year who put his dick on a girl at a party. It was this other guy who's also a conservative activist who gave the fucking Hunter Biden laptop copy disc to Viktor Orban, and I'm like, what did they fucking his entire like Vipers nest of evil conservative pricks were all in the freshman class at Yale in the same fraternity. Like, it just, it's so creepy. And like, all the Harlan Crow. Like, everyone on the right, it's like, you know, Ben Shapiro is like, well, Harlan's a good guy. I've been on his yacht. You know, who hasn't?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, it's just, it's one big fucking gross hot tub full of DNA soup.
Yeah. And by the way, if you haven't seen the first episode of The White House Plumbers, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We're talking about a story about E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy. And
how is the guy playing Liddy? Because you knew him.
Yeah,
so.
Justin Theroux is a great Liddy. Just an excellent.
Okay,
maybe not as good as the performance of Liddy in Gaslit, but he's pretty good. This is an interesting story insofar as it demythologizes the White House plumbers. Because up till now, they've always been presented as these serious, dangerous guys. But they're actually just a bunch of bungling idiots who are self-important. Yeah, they think they're better than they are. And in fact, they fucked up many times. When they finally broke into Watergate and got caught, that was their fourth attempt to get into the DNC offices. Just to give you an idea of how incompetent they were.
Hot pockets!
High pocket, and Gordon Liddy used to call me High Pockets. That was a thing. Okay, and so people like Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld, they're all cut from the same cloth as the White House plumbers. These self-serious, bungling, incompetent morons who don't know anything about anything and who get by just on brute force. That's it. That, just repeating the same shit over and over again. That's how they end up getting to where they are and succeeding.
And they're all surrounded by fucking sniveling toadies.
That's also true. Yeah,
it's like they are like they each have their own little retinue of yes men around them, and that they're all like the worst places to work. Apparently,
yeah.
Like terrible people make terrible bosses.
Yes. So let's get back to Jesse Waters talking about this illegal immigration family.
Illegal immigration family digging through the trash looking for recyclables.
How did you know they were illegal?
You can tell. And
Jesse.
I can tell. I'm a city guy. And
said no city guy ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
He's from the wilds of suburban Connecticut. Come on. I mean, like.
Thank you, Jolene, on Twitter for pointing that out, by the way.
You don't want me to get into it, but I can tell. And it is the saddest thing to see.
Oh, by the way, Greg Gutfeld just peeing himself. He's so happy. That's good. Greg Gutfeld just loves every second of Jesse Waters' story here. Just to give you an idea how much of an a-hole he is.
Because they're not able to work here. They came to work, but they're not able to work here. And the point is this. You have to be able to choose the people that come into the country based on needs. If you need this type of person, you need this type of bring them in. But to just say, yeah, come everybody in. And then, oops, you know, now people are looking for, you know, a 5-cent bottle. That's not right. And you can't blame the guy down in Texas for that.
Huh? So much wrong with that. I don't know.
Where do you even begin to unpack?
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, just aside from the racism, the fucking eugenic shit, the, you know, like.
Right. You're only allowed to enjoy American freedom and liberty if you're useful to our economy. That's Jesse Waters' requirement. If you've got something to do here that contributes to the American economy, come on in. If you're poor and disadvantaged, fuck you. Get out. That's the idea.
Fuck you.
Yeah. That, I mean, that, yes, that's right.
Never mind that they're like, you know, actually helping the environment by getting recyclables to the, you know, recycling plant.
Yeah, right.
People are throwing shit away that's recyclable. It needs to get gathered. But that's just.
Yep. That is Jesse Waters. The worst person in the world. And
yes,
I'm just going to roll the dice here and say, I think they're going to give Tucker's time slot to Jesse Waters.
Oh, absolutely.
You can see that now. Now that you've heard Jesse Waters talk, because I know not a lot of us are exposed to Jesse Waters on a regular basis.
They're not going to give it to...
I think that was him throwing his hat in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. You know, who else? I think Charlie Kirk was auditioning, too.
Oh, they all are.
Because he also took on, Charlie Kirk took on that Tucker Carlson plaintive tone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tucker was exactly right about white people fighting. White people fight with honor. Black people do not. Non-whites fight dishonorably, obviously. I wanted him to kill that guy. Kill him down dead.
Honorably.
Yes. But at the end of my text message, I actually felt bad about wanting to see him dead. Which he did. He's like, okay, this redeems me. I'm remorseful for wanting to see this Antifa guy killed in the street by 3 Trump supporters.
But
doesn't help. Doesn't help at all. Apparently Tucker is gonna
not helping.
Not helping. Tucker is working on putting together his own like rogue presidential primary debate among the Republicans. Because the Republicans are so pissed off at Fox News Channel. You know, Fox News and its liberal producers, its leftist producers, according to Don Jr. And as we all know,
Don Jr.'s on coke.
Which explains why Don Jr. was tweeting the other day that Fox News is run by leftists. Which is the most ludicrous thing in the world.
Yeah, where?
Oh, my God.
Yo, Kilogram, how you figure?
Don Jr.'s on coke.
Okay. Still a lot more show to come on the Shadow Docket. You know, you might think, okay, God, the show is over already? Wow. Well, you know what? We're not done yet. When this music gets done playing, we keep on talking, and we post that portion of the show exclusively on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. If you don't have that memorized already, what the hell's going on? Get it memorized. Write it down. Remember it. And you go there and you sign up for $5 a month. You can keep listening to the show. You can get it. You can put the RSS feed in your favorite podcast player if you know how to do that. I don't. But if not, you can listen on the Patreon app. You can listen at patreon.com/BobSiskaShow, wherever you want. Okay, we're going to see you over there now. Show's over. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Don Jr.'s on coke.